Hi, I'm Carl DeZeus for CNN 10. The worst violence in years between Israelis and Palestinians leads off today's show. The roots of their ongoing conflict date back more than 100 years. The two sides have fought over land, borders, and the status of Jerusalem, which both sides revere as a holy city. The latest flare-up seems to have started with daily fighting between Palestinians and Israeli police in mid-April. That's when the Muslim holy month of Ramadan began. Palestinians were concerned that Israeli settlers would evict some Palestinian families from their homes in East Jerusalem. There was an Israeli police raid on an Islamic holy site earlier this week after Palestinians reportedly barricaded themselves inside it with stones and homemade weapons. Since then, the situation has gotten more violent. Militants in the Palestinian-controlled territory of Gaza have fired more than 1,000 rockets into Israel this week. Many of them were intercepted by an Israeli missile defense system, but dozens have landed in Israel, whose military says at least 7 Israelis have been killed and hundreds of others injured. Israel has launched airstrikes into Gaza, whose Palestinian health ministry says at least 56 people have been killed and hundreds more injured there. Israel says it's eliminated a number of militant commanders and that there's no end date for its operation in Gaza. A leader of the Palestinian territory says if Israel wants to escalate the situation, Palestinians are ready for it. But both sides say they'll stop when the other one does. Aside from these operations, some Israeli towns have also seen fighting between their Arab and Jewish populations. Leaders from around the world are calling on all sides to stop the violence. 10-second trivia. What is the biggest factor in the price of gasoline? Taxes, distribution, crude oil, or refining costs? The cost of crude oil is the biggest factor in what we pay for a gallon of gasoline. The ripple effects continue to spread. Last week's cyber attack on America's largest fuel pipeline has led to shortages of gasoline in several U.S. states. According to GasBuddy, an application that tracks fuel demand, there were outages in nearly a quarter of all gas stations in North Carolina. 15% of stations in Georgia and Virginia were dry. South Carolina saw significant outages. This is all as of Wednesday morning. And GasBuddy says the problem was much worse around major southeastern cities. Several governors have declared states of emergency, relaxing some gas rules and encouraging cooperation to address the problem. The federal government's telling consumers not to panic buy and hoard gasoline, and stations not to price gouge or overcharge people for it. Outside the Southeast, there's reportedly plenty of fuel. Colonial Pipeline, the company that was hacked, said it was restarting its operations on Wednesday afternoon, but it could still be several days before supplies are fully restored in the Southeast.
The latest problem caused by the Colonial Pipeline hack is panic at the pump, with lines at some stations getting longer. The 5,500-mile pipeline supplies about 45% of all fuel used on the East Coast.
Yeah, it looks like they just ran out. They charged me 11 cents.
Even though experts say the rush is not necessary for now, the White House insists there are no widespread fuel shortages, but that has not stopped people from buying gas fast. Oil analysts tell CNN that will lead to more than 1,000 stations running out of gas soon, with the biggest impacts in Georgia and Tennessee. On Monday, demand jumped 40% in 5 states from Florida to Virginia.
It is a very serious problem right now.
84-year-old Bill Holtzman has spent his entire career distributing gas to stations in Virginia. But with the Colonial Pipeline mostly offline, Holtzman's trucks are now scrambling to fill up elsewhere. Holtzman says this Colonial terminal in Fairfax, Virginia is now dry.
Our goal is to not have any stations out of gasoline. And unfortunately, that's probably going to happen, and that really bothers me.
AAA says the price of a gallon of gas has shot up more than 7 cents in the last week. The new national average now more than $2.98, the highest in 6 years. Oil analyst Tom Cloza says with some stations now selling 4 times the norm, the national average will soon top $3.
When everybody scrambles, it's like everyone scrambling to go through a revolving door. You have problems, and we're seeing that behavior right now. It has spread like wildfire.
It is a new damper on what the travel industry hoped would be the start of a rebound beyond just road trips. In Atlanta, the world's second busiest airport says it is looking for additional fuel suppliers. American Airlines is even adding stops to a few of its longer flights, unable to top off all the way. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm calls this a supply crunch rather than a gas shortage.
Up next, the work of an architect and a structural engineer who specializes in trash, specifically using it in building and design. Recycled construction materials may not be for everyone. They might not offer the options, colors, and sizes that new materials do, but they are an environmentally friendly way to turn something old into something new.
What do all these places have in common? But they're all made partly from trash and designed by this man. Arthur Huang is a Taiwanese architect, engineer, and co-founder and CEO of MiniWiz.
The same page, right?
A company turning different kinds of waste, like plastic bottles, into materials for buildings and products across the world.
In nature, we produce zero waste. Isn't that how the city should be? Isn't that how we should build our products? Everything should be circular. There's no waste. Everything can be re-transformed, re-upcycled into all kinds of beautiful architecture.
Huang has spent the past 16 years innovating such transformation.
This is designed to...
His team has used waste to develop over 1,200 different materials for use in construction all over Taiwan's capital, Taipei, and beyond. From the streets of Taipei to the Tibetan Plateau, Huang and his team took their technology for a test drive in 2017 with the Trash Presso, a portable solar-powered recycling machine designed to allow communities to recycle locally in places where plastic waste has become an increasing problem, like China's Nianbao Yuzhe region in Qinghai province.
Our mission shifted to say, how can we actually take many of these possible technology to the people who actually really need it?
MiniWiz has developed an AI recycling system to detect different kinds of plastic, which the Trash Presso, through heat and compression, can transform into new products. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit, MiniWiz turned their engineering skills to a different kind of transformation. Huang worked with the Fujian Catholic University Hospital and other partners to develop the Modular Adaptable Convertible, or MAC ward.
During COVID time, most material cannot be shipped. So we are building medical parts, a medical ward system, all out of local trash. All the aluminium panels is already made from 90% recycled aluminium. And even the handle of the shelving, all the hanging racks, these are actually already made from medical waste.
A portable version can be built from scratch in 24 hours, Huang says.
I think that is what pandemic forces us to become very innovative, to coming up with the solutions to adapt to the current situation.
Adapting to a pandemic and also to environmental pressures, Huang's work shows how to create a more sustainable future.
We don't need to create new things. We just need to use our ingenuity, innovations, and our good heart and good brain to transform these existing material into the next generation of products and buildings to power our economy.
Well, if people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, people who travel in glass elevators shouldn't throw anything. This is an animation of a new observatory that's set to open this fall at an office skyscraper in New York City. It's called Summit One Vanderbilt, and it'll take intrepid observers as high as 1,210 feet over Midtown Manhattan. Glass skyboxes you can step out on are also part of this experience. Assuming you're not acrophobic, bactophobic, claustrophobic, or cityscapophobic, for some, this is the height of tourism, a view to a thrill, an amusing perch over a concrete jungle. For others, what goes up brings them down, giving them anything but a lift into thin air and leaving them glassy-eyed. I'm Carl Azus, elevating your news. Shout-out goes out to Mountain Brook High School. It gives us a lift to have you watching from Birmingham, Alabama. CNN 10 returns tomorrow.